And we thank God that we have been to this degree and shall be more extensively as time goes on. For we believe, Lord, that your Spirit here is here to show us these things that have been brought to our attention, though for this moment perhaps some things are not as clear as they should be, but thank God they will be in their due season. So now, Lord, as we study tonight, we pray that you'll show us this part of your word that has been revealed to us by the prophet, Lord, and also expounded upon now in this hour. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, as the announcement went on for this Saturday, 7:30 service, so there are people who aren't here tonight will be glad to have you phone them and tell them so they won't be missing the service and the foot washing and the communion. And, of course, the later the hour, the more significant is the typing of the Lord's Supper, because he did take the bread and the wine at night. It was dark, and so it should be really a little later than what we usually have it on a Sunday. So this will work out very good. So you keep that in mind, and don't forget to do your phoning so that everybody will know. Now, we've been going along here in the presence of the Lord, and this is message number 7, dealing with the appearing. And so we look at the thought of the appearing for a while tonight. Now, we have shown by the Word that the Holy Spirit is present in the midst of us and has revealed Himself to be the same Spirit that was in Jesus when He was here on earth. Now, you recall that Brother Branham kept making that statement, and in the Discernment of Spirits on page 16, he said, it is what the gates of hell are against, is it is a spiritual revelation of Christ being here now, and the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, that is the revelation, or you might say the understanding of the presence of God at the end time in the most abbreviated form. Now, this same word that sets forth his presence and his revelation also deals with what is known as his appearing. Now, of course, the fundamentalists that we have said previously pretty well all agree that this is supposed to be the rapture. But the prophet said that those theologians who set that forth have failed to properly distinguish the appearing from the coming. Now, the theologians and the fundamentalists, and that takes in about everybody but us, have the understanding that the appearing will be the rapture, and the coming will be the coming back to earth with the saints, which would be Revelation 19. Well, see, we wouldn't go for that. We would make the appearing that which is on earth at this time, and the coming would be when Christ descends to receive the bride unto himself in a figure of the air, wherever you want to put it, is in a dimension. Now, the prophet said, now in the Feast of the Trumpets, I believe it is, now how it said that he shall appear in the last days is to bring the people back to the Word, so the bride will know her husband, her mate, the revealed Word. Now, I don't take that language there to be explicitly that the appearing will be that which is to bring the people back to the Word so the bride will know her husband. The appearing is, what he's saying here is what he will do in that appearing. The reason to appear, why he will appear, is in order to bring the bride back to her husband, her mate, the revealed Word. Now, you notice he says, in the last days. So, therefore, it is something that we know is going to happen in this particular time, which is called the last days. Now, you can see here that what the appearing really amounts to is a revelation of him who is the Word, so that we see the Spirit veiled in the Word that speaks about him. Now, we're talking how the actual revelation takes place, that he reveals himself by means of that Word so that when we truly see Him in the Word, Christ revealed in His own Word and revealed by His own Word, you are really seeing the Logos. Now, but before we check out the Scripture on this appearing, we want to define what the word appear really means. Now, it comes from the Greek phanero, which is in the English phanero, and it signifies in the active voice to manifest, and in the passive voice to be manifested. And the Revised Version uses manifest instead of appear, as does the Authorized Version. It uses appear. So here then is another word used amongst us as Christians that has lost a lot of its meaning because it's not translated in the best way possible. Now, to be manifested means more than to appear. And here's where you lose your sense of understanding correctly this subject unless you really know what this word in the Greek translated to the English actually means. So the word manifest means more than to appear. Now here's what it is. A person may appear in a false guise without a disclosure as to what he truly is. To be manifested is to be revealed in one's true character. Now, it's just like Little Red Riding Hood. When the wolf put on the grandmother's habits, might have looked like grandma except the nose is a bit too long and the teeth a bit too sharp and the ears a bit too long. But you know, that's the way people are. These wolves in sheep clothing. Now, they look different from what they are. Now, you could say that person appears to be thus and so. Well, nobody's going to argue the point what he appears to be. But this word does not mean that. This word means, what is he? See, so when you look at this word then, appearing, as Brother Branham talked about, and the Bible talks about it, and they had one language, one understanding, you're not dealing with something that surfaces. You're dealing with something that not only surfaces, but has an actual identity as to its true character. Okay, we're going to start looking at some Bible that uses that word, manifest or appear, phanero. So we go to John 3 and 21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. That is proven, fully identified, shown to be what they are, that they are wrought in God. All right? 1 Corinthians 4. And verse 5. Therefore judge nothing before the time. Why? Because the Bible says things are really not as they appear. You gotta wait until the cover's ripped off. Judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. Then shall every man have praise of God. That tells you there that there's coming a time when the very motives of everything are going to be brought to light so that everything will be judged by a motive. You know, a lot of people want to be right for the sake of being right. That sure sounds good. That's a lot of hogwash. You got to be motivated. Otherwise, why did Brother Branham preach a sermon called Doing God a Service Apart from His Will? She wouldn't hold water. Okay, says, don't judge until everything is made clear. Just hold back. 2 Corinthians, 5th chapter, 10-11. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he has done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, But we are made manifest unto God. And I trust also I made manifest in your conscience. Now Paul here is able to say that he's not afraid to stand there at that time, because already he has judged himself thoroughly and knows that nothing which he has done has been done in any way other than properly motivated by God and for the sake of the people. Now, in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and in verse 13, you notice again, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So we see here, this word is much deeper than Jesus simply appearing on the scene. Much, much deeper. Therefore, as we use this word phaneron, appearing as it's termed in the King James, but not a good terminology, should be manifested, and apply it to the presence of the person of the Holy Spirit, you can see that this has to be the Spirit, both revealing His true identity and the character of His person. He doesn't only reveal He is there, but He reveals His character. It is a matter then of who it is and what it is. Who and what. I noticed Matthew 24 and 27. We go back there. And it says, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. Now this bright shining, even dazzling, that comes out of the east. Now what was the bright shining dazzling that we are to know about that came out of the east? Okay, we go back to the book of Acts, the 9th chapter. And in there we read, beginning at verse 3, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth. The light struck him down. And he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now the blinding light was the Logos of Acts 9 that shineth. And now that word is pheno, whose root word means to become evident. So therefore this Logos that shined in the east shineth or becomes evident, perfectly identified as to exactly what it is in the west. Now, pretty well everybody wants to talk about this as zap zap. It is not zap zap. See? He tells you the Logos, which was in the east, must appear in the west. And the word shine means to make evident. So therefore, at the end time, this sentence here is perfectly in line with what the Scripture says would happen, which is that manifestation to prove identity. So therefore, the light from the east, when it comes to the west, will identify itself. See, that's what he's telling you here. Now, after the presence, or at or toward the end of the great tribulation, we find verse 30 of Matthew 24. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Now, then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now, I realize that when people talk about this light coming out of the east to the west, and they talk about the Son of Man, they like to connect verse 30 with it. And it's this, as though that were what it was talking about. But this is talking about the sign of the Son of Man coming in clouds. But over here in 27, he's talking about what's going on earth. for an extended period of time. Now, this evidence of this appearing, which will be then shall be manifested, the sign of the Son of Man, is in the great tribulation, or toward the very end of it, without a doubt. And you will notice, as I will show you in the book of Revelation, that this manifestation is already anticipated and well accepted where 27 can only come to the very elected. Now we'll go to Revelation chapter 6 to show you that. This is under the sixth seal. Now, I beheld in verse 12, the sixth seal opened, earthquake. Sun became black as sackcloth, the hair moon became as blood, the stars of heaven fell to the earth, and so on. Then they hid themselves. And notice what they said in verse 16, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Now, they already had an identification. They knew who was going to come and what he was going to do. Over here, they don't. It's quite a mysterious thing. And the people are not aware of it. Because it says they knew not until the flood came and swept them away, and knew not until the tribulation hit. Now evidently, the two witnesses will more than take care of any evidential sign that is required as a manifestation for the sixth seal. So you can't run these verses together because they cannot be run. They are two different time slots. One is previous to the tribulation. One is during the tribulation. Now notice, in each case, the identification is most important. It's important on this side, the tribulation. It's important in the tribulation. Now, this would have to be, especially for this side, the tribulation, as one contemplates Matthew 24 and 3, where Jesus said, what will be the sign of thy presence? Verses 4 and 5, and Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. At the time of my presence, concerning me in my presence, concerning me. So that you're fooled as to who is who. For many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ. And, of course, nobody's going to be fooled. It doesn't say that. It says that many are going to be deceived. It's like the old TV game. Will the real Jesus Christ please stand up? Because nobody knows who he is. Now you can see what I'm talking about. Many will be deceived. Again, 23 to 26. And if any man shall say, lo, here is Christ, and lo, there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ, even false prophets, lying prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders. Absolutely a perfect imitation. Beware of them that come in sheep's clothing, they're wolves. And they'll have every identification, except one special thing. They'll fool everybody. And they'll have great signs and wonders. But a judgment day it'll be said, I never knew you. Now notice this says, great signs and wonders insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I've told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, in the desert, go not forth, and the secret chamber, believe it not. Now that should let you know right there that there will not be simply a reasonable facsimile following this presence which has been identified, but a most unreasonable facsimile is going to fool an awful lot of people that already were on the right trail. Just like when Jesus had 12 disciples and 70 more, and when the time came to listen to the word, the 70 walked off because they couldn't stand the blood test. which was to eat my flesh and drink my blood. See, they couldn't take it. All right. This is a repeat today of what took place in the days of Jesus when it was the Logos in flesh. The Logos now, at the end time, will get the same treatment. Let's go to Matthew 12 and 22. Let's take a peek at it. It's even going to get more complicated. And your brother Branham dealt with it. Verse 22, then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch the blind and dumb both saw, spake, and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? And when the Pharisees heard it, they said, you stupid bunch of idiots, this is the devil. Why, he said, this is not the son of David, this is the other one. This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. He's the biggest one of the whole bunch of them. Jesus knew their thoughts and said, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? If I by Beelzebub cast out devils, whom your children cast them out, therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast it out by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else how can one enter a strong man's house and spoil his goods and so on? Now here you are. Has in that day the accused, the one who identified himself as the devil, they accused the one in this day of being the devil. Let's go to John 8:48 and see the same thing over here. This is where he locked horns with the Pharisees. Then Jesus answered the Jews and said, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast the devil? Said the same thing. And Jesus said, I haven't got a devil, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. The same people that claim to have Jesus Christ as Savior, and then make remarks about fortune-telling, are in this class right here. Brother Branham categorically said, he said, be very careful here now, he said. Any man that was behind, that went behind the pillar of fire, does not come out making Jesus a fortune-teller. Following more scripture, we go to Mark. We're looking at this special word. Mark 3, or the special description, when he was on earth. 11 to 12 of Mark 3. An unclean spirit, and he saw him, fell down before him, and said, thou art the Son of God. And he straightly charged them that they should not make him known. Now notice, the making known was even made known by devils. We're just going through the gospel. We could have done this a little better fashion, but I'm just taking the gospels and other books in sequence. John 1:29-34. The next day, John sees Jesus coming to him and identifies him. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh the man which is preferred before me, before he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Proven identity, therefore am I come baptizing with water. John the record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from him like a dove that abode upon him. And knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending, identifying him and remaining on him, the same is he, identified, which baptized the Holy Ghost, and I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Notice there. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest, identified as to exactly who he was. I'm come baptizing in water. John 2:11. This is the beginning of miracles that did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, absolutely identified that he had received honor of God. Absolutely proved that he was the one that God has spoken of. And his disciples believed on him. John 7:1-5. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. That's over in Judea. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His disciples therefore said to him, Depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. In other words, there is no way, if you're going to be known openly, you can do something in secret. You've got to do that thing in public to identify yourself. They said, identify yourself. Show who you are. Prove who you are. Make it manifest. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe on him. Show yourself. See, that's the word, manifest. John 9, 1 to 3. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man was blind from birth. His disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents? He was born blind. And Jesus said, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. There had to be some way for the works of God to come forth. So the man was born blind. When he was healed, it was manifested that was the work of God, because only God would do something like that. Okay. John 17 and 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, thou gavest to me, and they have kept thy word. In other words, he came in his Father's name, and he absolutely manifested that he was the one in the Father's name by the works that were revealed and manifested amongst the people. John 21. Verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples. That's what it was. That word manifested showed himself. And on this wise, he showed himself. He manifested, showed who he was. Verse 14. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself, or manifested, or proved who he was after he was risen from the dead. We now go to 1 Timothy. And 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. In other words, the flesh was there and anybody could see he was a human being. But that wasn't the point. It was God was manifested. Now how was God manifested? He made it absolutely known that it was God. For no man doeth these works. Except God be with him, God be in him. All right. 1 John 1 and 2. The epistle. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness. There again, he was born. He was raised. He was fed. He was nurtured. He grew. Everything happened to him like a normal human being. But there was something about him where he was more than a man. They saw it. 1 John 3, 5, 5th verse. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. Proven in his true character. Absolutely shown that he was the Lamb of God. Verse 8. He that committeth sins the devil. For the devil sins the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. In other words, there again, abundantly made clear and plain who he was. Verse 9. 1 John 5 and 9, I'm sorry, not verse 9 and 3. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. In other words, perfectly manifested. Now, what I read to you here, this is the history of his proven sonship as Messiah when he was on earth. Now, that's what took place. It was made evident. It was proven. Even as Jesus said, if I had not done the works of other men, did they not sin? But now they both seen and hated both me and my Father. He said, if you can't believe what I say, believe the works. Now, he was manifested on earth. Everybody agrees. And he is to be manifested again at his presence, which is for a period before the great tribulation. 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, you may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his appearing. Now he tells you when he shall appear, when he shall be made abundantly manifest, that who it is, the one in his true character, coming before us, and we know it. Now that's at his presence. Now, this is put into the rapture by the theologians. This proves you. And this manifestation, which is the showing forth of the true character. So we're going to look at their theology, because Brother Branham said it was wrong. And it is. At the rapture, the theologians of the opposite angle, the Lord Jesus Christ will be in flesh, and we'll be present in flesh with him. He'll be present, and we'll be present with him. Now, then according to them, he will manifest who he is, and we will be ashamed or not ashamed, depending on our lives. This, of course, would be 1 Corinthians 3, which we read over here before. Let's take a look at it. Now he says, according to the grace of God given unto me as a wise master builder, verse 10, I've laid the foundation of the man builder on, but let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. For the foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work should be made manifest. Now it tells you that. Every man's work. For the day will declare, whether he shall be revealed by fire, the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abides, he had built thereon, he receive reward. If any man's work should be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself be saved, yet so is by fire. Now this talks about works. The manifestation of works. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5. 10-11. For it is all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also made manifest unto your conscience. Now, he's telling you something there where people could be terror-stricken, and there's those who could not be and would not be. Now, to put this manifestation in the appearing, or the rapture, as they call it, in my understanding is a bit weird for two reasons. The same theologians that quote these scripture as referring to the bema, the judgment seat, in the upper atmosphere after the rapture, use 1 Corinthians 7, 1 Corinthians 1 and 7, as the rapture, so that you come behind in no gift waiting for the parousia, now pardon me, the apocalypses of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the revelation which they also call that rapture. Now, as I say, they use verse 7 for the rapture, and yet in verse 8, it says, we'll be blameless, who shall confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, evidently, there's two things here. There's an apocalypse which must precede the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some description. And it says, he will confirm you blameless at the time of the revelation, which they claim to be the rapture. The word blameless means unreprovable. It implies not merely acquittal. That is, you could be acquitted in a court of law. But this doesn't even go that far. Not merely acquittal, but the absence even of a charge or accusation against a person. Now, what I'm looking at here is not what they are looking at. I am not looking at where in that presence, that revelation, that complete unveiling is in the rapture. No way. It is here now, because it is here that you are confirmed blameless to the end. See? You're already past a judgment. For he that believeth, as the scripture said, not somebody else's idea, but believe it on him according to scripture, he shall never come into a judgment. So these people here that are standing, waiting for the resurrection and the rapture, have already come to a place in the hour of his manifestation, and they're judged completely blameless. They cannot be brought to a court of law. Now let's go further and see where they're wrong. We go to 1 John, the 3rd chapter, and the 2nd verse. This again is the rapture, according to them. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. In hand hath never yet been to this time what shall be. That's what he says here. But we know that when he shall appear, that's Phanerol, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now the question arises, if you've got to wait to find out who he is in the rapture when you're changed, what's all this yakety yakety yak about getting food? No way. No way. He's already present. And he's obscured. It's a mystery. Now, let's look at the scripture here. Beloved, now are we the sons of God? It never yet come into existence or appeared, been manifested what we shall be. Now, that's true. You show me one time where a group of people standing become immortal. Now, people say, I believe that Enoch was made immortal. Well, maybe he was. I don't know. Well, I believe maybe Elijah was made immortal. Well, maybe he was. I don't know. One person, two people, I can believe it. But never has there been a group, or will there be a group, until a certain time. Now, that's what he's talking about. When he becomes absolutely manifested in his true character, we will be changed, because we see him in his true character. Now, the fundamentalists have you changed and caught up to see him. The Bible teaches you see him, you're changed, then you're caught up. So their doctrine is very, very weird. Now, again, notice this appearing Phanerol is it here. It's supposed to be the rapture, but it does not say that. Now, we want to stop a moment and get some necessary information. And when we do, we are still talking about the presence of the Holy Spirit in the midst of the bride. So let's go back and take a look at it. Matthew 24 again. And that's that 3rd verse. What will be the sign of that presence? Well, he said, take heed no man deceives you. Many are going to come in my name saying, I'm Christ, and they're not. They'll say, lo here, and they'll, lo there, don't believe it. For many are going to rise. The same time of his presence, many false anointed will rise. Now, what is a false prophet? If you don't know what a false prophet is, let's go on back to Deuteronomy chapter 13 and let's find out and settle the question. If there arise among you a prophet or dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder come to pass, where we spoke unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which we have not known, let us serve them. Let's get into wrong scripture. Let's say something different. Let's get off the word of God. Thou shalt not hearken the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God in fear and keep his commandments. Now that gives you the trick to the whole thing. It's a word test. So the guy comes along and he's got a legitimate dream. It comes to pass. He's got a legitimate prophecy. It comes to pass. Now watch where he takes you with the word. See, now that's what he's talking about. Matthew 24 is talking about Deuteronomy 13. But when he talks about the genuine anointing, he's talking about chapter 18. Verse 20, Deuteronomy, but the prophet, which shall presume to speak of a word in my name, which I have not commanded to speak, or that shall feed the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When the prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, thus saith the Lord, there's the key. If the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, the prophet spoke to something, you'll not be afraid of him. So it tells you here at the end time, the true anointing will have thus saith the Lord. The rest won't have it. They'll have their signs and wonders, and they'll still fool people. They'll still follow them. All right, that's a period of time. Verses 37 to 39, as was in the days of Noah, that's a period of time. All right, go to Luke 17 now. Chapter 17, 22 to 23. You'll desire to see one of the days the Son of Man shall not see it. And they'll say, see, here, see, there, follow them not. That's a period of time, because it's going to have to give you time to run around, look things over, and to check you out. You don't do that in 5 minutes or 5 days. You only can check it out in the time of years. So there's years going on when that goes on. 31 to 32. Even thus, in that day, he which is on the housetop not come down, remember Lot's wife. That's a period of time. 26 to 30, that's a period of time. As it was the days of Noah. But notice 33 to 36. Whosoever shall seek to save his life will lose it. He shall say, lose his life for my sake or preserve it. I tell you, in that night there'll be two men in the bed, one taking one left. Two women grinding. They won't be in the bed. They're out there on the other side of the world. One taking one left. Two in the field, one taking one left. Where, Lord? Wherever the body is, there's the eagles gathered. That's the rapture. Now, period of time. Okay, back to Matthew 24. 27:36 again. Lightning comes out of the east, shines the west. Same identification, same one. Where the carcasses, the eagles are gathered. Then there's the great tribulation set in. Then there's the parable of the fig tree. Heaven and earth's going to pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. Not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now, the presence of the Holy Spirit with the bride goes right up to the great tribulation. No way you can miss it. The presence is going to be over a definite period of time, a prolonged period. Nobody knows how long. No way. You can't guess it. As in the days of Noah, 120 years roughly. Israel lost 40 years messing around. They only had 2 miles to go. Messed around 40 years. So you can see, nobody can tell you how long it's going to be, but it's a period of time. And there is no record where the angel of the covenant ever left Israel, even in his wanderings, for 40 solid years. It followed them right in the cross. All right. With the bride, goes right up to the great tribulation. No way you can miss it. The presence is going to be over a definite period of time, a prolonged period. Nobody knows how long. No way. You can't guess it. As in the days of Noah, 120 years roughly, Israel lost 40 years messing around. They only had 2 miles to go. Messed around 40 years. So you can see, nobody can tell you how long it's going to be, but it's a period of time. And there is no record where the angel of the covenant ever left Israel, even in his wanderings, for 40 solid years. It followed them right in the cross. All right. We don't know how long it's going to be. No way of knowing. But he'll be here until the great tribulation. Now, we go to 1 Thessalonians 4. The chapter. Beginning at verse 13. I wouldn't have you in the brethren concerning them which are asleep. He's talking to those in our life. Did you soar not as others have no hope? For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring forth, lead out with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain under the presence of the Lord shall not go before them which are asleep. Now he describes the presence. And how we won't go before them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend with a shout. Now, what's he going to do? Come down to earth or stay up halfway? He comes down to earth. with the voice of the archangel trump of God, then the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now that's the rapture. They're going to get up there ahead of us. Then we which are alive and me be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now there's two Lords mentioned there. The first Lord is Jehovah in a pillar of fire, the Logos. He is the present one, the Christ. The other one is Jesus, the man. And we're going to be caught up to where he is in the clouds of the air because he starts to come down. So there's a present and a presence. Now what happens to the presence that's with us? He incarnates himself when he gets there in the body of Jesus, and we are presented unto himself a glorious bride without spot, without wrinkle. Now you tell me there's some kind of a shame even there? No way. Now the only time anybody could be ashamed of the presence of the Lord was back in John's day and Paul's day. Because they had the truth. They had the word. And the presence will be corrective. Who wants to stand beside someone that's corrected when you shouldn't have been wrong in the first place? With us, it's different. We're facing 1,700 years of the church going down the drain. So when we stand beside him who is corrective, it's a joy. And an utmost satisfaction to us to know that's our help. Now, notice the presence continues. It starts down here. It goes to the rapture. It goes to the marriage supper. It goes to the presentation, the Bema. It goes to coming down here and taking the earth over. It goes to the white throne. It goes to eternity. Once that one is here, he said, I'll never ever leave you again when I come to receive you unto myself. And he's speaking in the terminology of the Father and the Son, because that's the time he said, he that's seen me hath seen the Father. I go to prepare a place for you. I will come and receive you unto myself. Now who's preparing the place? Well, only the one that could be the Logos, because he's doing all things. So therefore he is coming. We'll be with him. Then in the bodily form together, and there is never any cessation at any time. Now, you cannot isolate presence and revelation and manifestation to just the rapture alone. See? What manifestation is needed at the rapture? No manifestation is needed at the rapture itself. See? Because you've got to be in shape somehow here to make it up there. Bless God if you ever get 1 foot off the ground even. That is 2 feet at one time off the ground in a regular rapture. What have you got to worry about? See, they got it all messed up. There's no way you can make this Bible come out right except through the prophet. So you cannot isolate presence and revelation and manifestation and so on to the rapture. He is here and revealing himself on earth now. Now, that's absolutely true. We go to Revelation chapter 10. And in verse 1, we see that one seated on the throne, the Logos comes on down. And you notice also that it's absolutely the Son of Man in the first chapter of the book of Revelation. So who is it? It's the same one in another form. The same Spirit. The Logos in a pillar of fire coming down. 1 foot on land and 1 foot on sea. Cried the loud voice of the lion roareth, and so on. But it says in verse 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when he'll begin to sound, the mystery of God should be absolutely finished, polished off, wound up, everything done, as God hath declared the good news of the gospel by his servants, the prophets. So therefore there is a prophet here at the time of all the mysteries revealed, of which the seven thunders have to be a part of it, or this lies. Because it says all the mysteries. The mystery of God's going to be finished. This is part of it. Now, the seven thunders, verse 7 obviates the mystery of the fourth verse that says, seal up those things. And that's true, they were sealed. But in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when he'll begin to sound, the mystery of God is finished. In other words, the seventh seal has to come into the open, because all it has in the Bible is a silence. You can see here what was silenced was the seven thunders. So therefore, the seventh seal will be the seven thunders unveiled at the time of this man. Now, let's go over to Revelation 22 and see what happens at that time. Verse 10. And he said, seal not the sayings of the prophet's book, for the time is at hand. Okay, since the time they were sealed in 10 and 4, they're opened by 22 and 10. No way out. Can't deny it. The seals are open. The thunders come forth. Now notice, at that time, he that is unjust is unjust still. He that's filthy is filthy still. He that's righteous, righteous still. He that's holy is holy still. And behold, I come quickly, my reward is with me. He's telling you flat at that time before the rapture, when he comes with his reward, because that's where the bema is, the presentation and the wedding supper, this has already happened. See? And behold, now, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and last. All right, the question comes. Was he down here on earth revealing himself? He certainly was. Did he start the work of redemption here on earth? He certainly did. Where will he finish the work of redemption? Right here on earth. No other place to finish it. The question comes, was he in a rapture in midair? He was. Will he be in a rapture in midair? He certainly will be. Did he perform a resurrection back there? Yes. Is there one to be performed now? Yes, he's Alpha and Omega. You see, the whole thing is winding up. Now notice, he that's righteous is righteous still. They're blameless. That's what it says over here in the book of Corinthians. At the revelation, at the apocalypse, at the manifestation, the bride will be blameless. That's why he's here, to see that she is blameless. See? Now, at the same time, it said, blessed are they who wash their garments, that they may have the right to the tree of life. They may have the right to the eternal life immortalized of Jesus Christ, to be just like him. They'll walk over to the tree of life, as I've often said. In other words, they'll be an absolute partaker at that time. Now, at his presence happens what we're talking about. The elect are blameless. The rest, that's like the foolish virgin. Even the foolish virgin are going to die. Now, we're going to see some more scripture. We go to Colossians 3 and 4. Now remember, we're studying this word. And it says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Now it tells you he's got to appear. And it's at that time slot, not that exact instant, but at that time slot, you will appear with him in a future glory. And at the same time he manifests now, you will appear with him in the same manifestation, because you're being identified with him. If you're not identified with him, you're never going to make it. When he appears, you're identified. In other words, when it is manifested who he is. And that's the thought here, more than any other thought. When he's manifested who he is, then you'll be manifested too. Now look, except you have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. So this will identify who is born again. This will identify who is Christ. Now you can't do it by miracle signs and wonders or a gifted life or any kind of a life, because the false prophet's got it. There's only one identification Brother Branham said that he knew, and that's believing the word for this hour. So when he is revealed, he is manifested, he is present. We are present and we are manifested. And there's no way we're going to miss it, because he didn't miss it. See, what we're talking about, that's why we're blameless. 1 Peter 5 and 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. In other words, these things cannot happen until the time of the presence on earth. And they're missing it. That's what's wrong with the whole church world. Wrong with the foolish virgin. The whole bunch of them are going to miss it. There's only going to be a very few elect at the end time identified, because they can't be fooled. And the rest are fooled. Where does the fooling start? At the presence. God have pity. If the presence was up there, who's going to get fooled? See, that's crazy, because there's got to be a comparison. Now, what we are seeing here, then, is the great mystery of the end time. It is the parousia, the presence of the Lord. But that presence has to be identified. And then the identity maintained because of Matthew 24, 23 to 26. How long that goes on, nobody knows. Now, that's why I keep screaming out about these guys like this fella from Tucson. Preacher out there, supposed to be a bright preacher. I'm not saying he isn't, but he better smarten up. He's got a little picture taken over some man's tabernacle, and he's boasting in that, and they're boasting in New York. Come on. What is it? What does identify? Oh, this means we're bright. Does it? Give me one, thus saith the Lord. Give me one bit of scripture. Give me something. So the guy said, well, he said, we're encouraged. Encouraged to what? This late in the day, the prophet gone 15 years, and people still getting an itchy nose, opening refrigerator doors, little funny feelings, little funny pictures. No wonder I'm going crazy. I just say one thing, God, get me out of here, because I'm tired of the whole thing of this. I'm tired. I'm not just tired of this. I'm just tired, period. I keep falling on my face. I'm so blasted tired. I'd like to get out of here. Who wants to stick around with all this hogwash? My God, 15 solid years, and people acting like a bunch of idiots yet. The prophet said they saw their last sign. And he was a sign. And only Lee Bale, Joe Coleman, or anybody else. I'm not a sign except the sign of an idiot and a jackass. And they're worse than I am. Because they're out to fool the people. The question was he here or wasn't he here? Is he here or isn't he? See why I preach this message so strong? No other way I can preach it. If I didn't preach it hard, I wouldn't nail it down. Only God can identify and reveal himself. And it can't be done by God alone, no way. It takes a prophet. Deuteronomy 18. It takes a prophet. Amos 3. Is God going to do something except he tells a prophet? No. It's going to take a prophet. Malachi 4, 1 to 6. It's going to take a prophet. Revelation 10, 1 and 7. In every single case, there's God on the scene, the Logos, and there's a prophet, because God himself cannot be seen, but he manifests. He manifests to the prophet. The prophet manifests to the people. In other words, the two have a liaison. God begins to show himself. Then the prophet can tell, say, this is God. What is being done? What has been done? In other words, God himself can't even do something without somebody coming behind and explaining it. That's exactly right. Tell me who's going to explain the picture on a Polaroid camera. William Branham were here to authenticate it, it'd be fine, but William Branham was not here to authenticate it. I'm going to hear a bunch of Joe Blows running around to authenticate something dropped dead. Amen. Now Jesus said in John 5:39, let's go back and read it. Search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify me, not some Polaroid camera. Not even William Branham outside the Word of God. And it's strange, William Branham had a revelation every single day, 7 days in a row, 7 seals open, mighty manifestation of God, the Holy Spirit, in the form of an angel, came down and spoke to Brother Branham, the light shining around. As soon as the message was given, he went right to the Bible. Fathead, he should have said, oh, great angel, no matter what you say, hallelujah. Oh, other great angel, no matter what you say, hallelujah. Hogwash, a prophet will go to the Bible. People today don't want him to think. Well, I'll get a Polaroid camera and give you some good pictures. We'll get some pictures. I'll have a expert help me. And this expert let just the right amount of light come in. We'll get some wonderful pictures about the tabernacle here, Lee Vale preaching. And we'll send him a, come and see the great Lee Vale. Oh, Brother Brown, there's nothing alongside of Lee Vale. Ain't nobody like Lee Vale. Hallelujah! Shut up! Merciful God, anybody can be a jackass. Even Balaam's ass spoke in tongues. Balaam began answering the mule back. He hold, what's going on here? One of these days that's going to happen. Ha, ha, ha. Send that tape out. I'm more than sarcastic. Challenge you, prove me wrong. You think God won't speak back to all this nonsense? You better speak back. Judgment's coming. Just around the corner. People think they can play fast and loose with the prophetic message that William Branham came and gave. I wonder what's going on with them. Want something else. He said, you've seen your last sign. You saw the last sign. You saw the last sign. You saw the prophet. You saw the sign. What do you want? Well, I want something else. You'll get it. You'll get it. No problem. What do you like? I'll even pray for it for you. I'm a nice guy. You think I'm not? 16 years ago, God said, you did wrong to a church that wanted gifts. I took their gifts away. He said, give them back. I went back next Sunday. I talked in tongues with them. Yeah. I interpreted them. And I prophesied. They loved it. You want something done for you? I'll help you. You think Brother Branham didn't? Go over the tapes again. Sure, I'm a rotten, tough preacher. But I'll tell you one thing. You get the truth around here. And if you want to get something else, go and get it. Little signs and diggy diggy. Fine. Now, I'm not against signs and wonders and God doing miracles. I'd like to see the dead raised. Sure. I want to see people heal. I want to see all these things. But I want to see that sweet spirit and sweep through the congregation where there's a vertical or a horizontal. That's where you missed it 2 years ago. I preached and I told you to go forward or backward. If you missed the vertical or horizontal and you didn't, you fooled with it, you didn't go for it. Don't kid me. I know what I'm talking about. You say, can you make it up? That's between you and God. I ain't your judge. But it's all over the country they're missing. They can't stand the vertical to the horizontal. No way. They want all vertical. Me and God, me and God, me and God. They want to put the preacher's name. They ain't going to put that preacher. I'm going to bleed from him to me and out here somewhere before God, or I want to be taken off the earth and die. I hope you're catching what I'm saying. There's a little bit of bleak. A little oblique, but you can do what you want with what I preach. I'm not mad at you. I'm just telling you. See? John 5:39, search scriptures. Going to bring you to me. Now, what do you want all those signs for? What do you want this man for? Why did Brother Branham have signs in the first place? To bring him to the scripture. And they were scriptural signs. Perfectly scriptural. Now, let's go to John 5:7. 52. See what it says there. The answer it said, art thou also of Galilee? Search and see, brother Galilee, ariseth no prophet. Now, they didn't get their facts right about Jesus because he wasn't born in Galilee. He merely lived there in Galilee. He was born in Bethlehem of Judea. But I want to tell you something. These old birds were right. They searched the scripture. And what we have tonight is not in the Bible, throat in the gutter. It's in the Bible, you better keep it. When it proves out according to the word, the exact evidence of the presence being Acts 3:19, that which is visible to the eye, and Jesus said, if I had not done the works that no other man did, they had not sinned, but now they both seen and hated both me and my Father. And he that saw the works saw God, just like there's a nature out there, and you know there's a God. So these works started a revival throughout the whole world that would bring on the revelation. It's in the scripture. See? First the presence manifesting itself, proving itself, identifying itself in the scripture, then revealing itself through the scripture. That's right. John 1:18. No man seen God at any time, the only begotten the Father, which is in the bosom of the Father, who hath declared him or revealed him. There's the Logos. God had within himself a reservoir of his entire attributes that he could manifest. So he dressed it in a creature form, usually fire, sometimes whirlwind, one time the flesh, one time angel, so on, does what he wants, and he shows himself. Then what he does, he has to lead the whole thing forth by words, for God must talk to people to get across to them. There isn't any other way. Now, he can show a million miracles. He can dress you in the finest clothes. He can feed you on the finest food, but you still wouldn't know God unless God declared himself. So there has to be a speech. And when John turned to the voice, it was a communicative voice, conversational, where God talked, John talked, God talked, John talked. That's how God comes across. Be the same with Moses. We'll take that up another Wednesday or night or two from now. We go into that in the book of Exodus, not tonight. All right. Thus we see that the presence revealing himself proves conclusively who he is, as he did in John 14:7-12. In other words, this one today did what he did when he was here in the flesh. That not, now the seventh verse. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. Henceforth you know him and have seen him. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and they'll satisfy us. And Jesus said, I have been so long with you, and you not know me, Philip. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father in me? The words that I speak, and I speak not of myself, but the Father dwells in me, he doeth the works. Now, if the Father did the works, then the Father did the speaking. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe for the very work's sake. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. That's in the singular. He said, there's coming a day. And remember, this whole Bible is written in the present tense for this hour. Just as though Jesus said, I'm coming back in 2 weeks from now. 3 months from now. 10 years from now. 12 years. 20 years. But before I come back in my flesh, there my presence will be here, and someone will be here who has even a greater ministry that identifies me. Been done, too. Just like he did back there, he identified himself. I said the same about John 15:25, not done the worst man then, did he not sin? Or John 15:24, this is. Deuteronomy 18:15, when that one comes, you can't hear see the pillar of fire, you can't hear him, so God's going to send a prophet. And the opening of the seals revealed him. Now listen. The opening of the seals revealed him who is the spiritual body and the spiritual head. In other words, all that poured down in the bride from the Word and the Spirit, right here amongst us today. You see, it's come up, as Brother Branham said, from the feet. The pour down, build up, until the pour down was completed. And here stands Christ in the midst of the church, standing amongst us, proving who he was. Spiritual body, spiritual head is here, meaning the physical must soon follow. Whereas God took that head out of the grave, so that head stands here once more to take us out of the grave in human flesh. See? All right. Thus we see in our day, 1 Timothy 6:13-16. I hope you're following me. I give thee charge in the sight of God to quicken all things before Jesus Christ, when it be before upon pass, when it's good admission. All right. That thou keep this command without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his time shall he show. That means at the parousia, at the revelation, he will absolutely manifest. He will absolutely manifest who is the blessed and only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality. Now he tells you at that time he's going to prove who he is. And he's going to show there is one God, and his name is Lord Jesus Christ. As the prophet said categorically, he said, which is you, Lord Jesus Christ? They condemn. They bring curses. Rather, not Lord Jesus, but Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They cannot use the name, but they'll use titles and bring a curse. Not with the name of Lord Jesus Christ, no way. I hear the word is so confused, baptizing in names, which can bring curses. Remember, the devil in the blue light would not go when Brother Branham said the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It wouldn't talk. It wouldn't admit it was wrong, but the minute he said in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it had to talk and admit to sin. Now it says here, at that time, which we are in, this will take place. Notice, once he shows the fulfillment of 1 Corinthians 13:9, that which is perfect is come. In other words, no more parts to come, but he is here. Then that which in part is done away, you don't look back anymore. You look at what is present. He's here to get us out of here. That's where the man of Phoenix went haywire. He thought that word prophecy meant some little prophecy. It doesn't mean that at all. He talked about that spirit by filled by the word. The spirit and word is one. Came on down the first day. We had a blackboard, I'll show you. Come down the second age, the third age, fourth age, fifth age, sixth age, and in the seventh age it is all down. And notice, Brother Branham said he came up through the church. That's right! What came down is what came up. You follow me? That's why there's a harvest. That's why there's wheat. That's why at the end of the day. Now, that which is perfect has come is the 14th verse of 1 Timothy 6. Keep this command without spot. Unrebukable until the appearing, the revelation, the parousia, because it's the same thing, of the Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times And for 6, 10, 7 church ages he's been doing it. But the last church age is when the proof comes on the scene. No man can see him. No man has seen him. But he's proving that he is there, and he's doing it. Now, he will take from that point on with the proper steps, or he will from that point on with proper steps take over the world with his bride. Now, notice that. Which in his time shall show as the blessed and only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords. Now, that's times of the events of when he starts here. From this point on, he will absolutely bring everything to pass. See? Whom no man can see, or has seen, take us right to the very end. He will take us right to Revelation 19:11, coming back on a white horse with the bride in white horses. See? Now, and we will know at that time, and progressively know, right down the end, until we're right to the New Jerusalem, the whole thing. Now notice, at those times, when he begins by his presence to reveal, there will never be a shortness of revelation. And present is on and on and on and on eternally. See? That's what he says right here. But it starts today. Sorry, he started. Now, before I close, remember what we said previously, the last message in this series of these titles. The world screams, how come we don't see this? How come we don't know about it? Well, let's go back to Luke 2. As we do, let's remember, John the Baptist, all the high places made low, all the low places made high, all the crooked places straightened up. Oh my, it looks like there's going to be a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous. All right, let's look at this verse here. Luke 2 and 30. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Now, he tells you, mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which you have performed before the whole world. In other words, this wasn't done in the corner. In other words, this little thing right here. And the ministry of Jesus, which was hardly known even through the Roman Empire. Looked at askance by most people in his own bailiwick. Yet it says, before all people. You tell me the people didn't have a chance to see this. You tell me they didn't have a chance with William Branham, they sure did. Let's go to Luke, to Acts, I'm sorry, the book of Acts. The 26th chapter. Here Paul is before Agrippa. And he stands concerning his faith. 11:26, and I have punished them off in every synagogue, compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them into a strange city. Now he said, I even made people blaspheme. Whereupon I went to Nazareth with authority and commissioned the chief priest. At midday, O king, I saw on the way for a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, with them that journeyed with me. And we were all falling to the ground. I heard a voice speaking to me. Saul, why did you persecute me? It's hard to kick against the friction. I said, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus. But rise and stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister, and a witness both of these things that thou hast seen, and of those things in the which will I will appear unto thee. Notice he said, would you see what I'm going to show you yet? Delivering thee from the Gentiles, from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness and inheritance among them who are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now he said that was his ministry that God gave him. Now, whereupon, O King Gipper, I was not this being the heavenly vision. But showed unto them first Damascus and Jerusalem throughout the coast of Judea, and them and the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do worse me repent. For this, these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and were about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue in this day, witnessing both the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. That Christ should suffer, and he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And he thus spoke for himself. Festus said a loud voice, Paul, you're beside yourself, you're mad. He said, I'm not mad, noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, for before whom I also speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this was not done in a corner. That's right. Now, 1 Corinthians 2, 7 and 8. But we speak the mystery of God in the mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world began, we're under our glory, before the world, we're under our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, the people say, if this is so, why didn't we hear it? Because your elders crucified it, that's why. They say, well, where does that leave us? The same place Jesus said to the Pharisees. He says, right now you're saying, if we, our fathers did wrong in killing the prophets. He said, let me tell you, you are the sons of the prophets. You're guilty, the same as your fathers. And the people in the denominations, all the churches, to listen to all those big boys out there, those cardinals and the dukes and the princes of the religious organization, they listen. They'll die with it. And there'll be no recourse, because it was not done in the corner. What William Branham gave to this world, that, pardon me, that God gave to this world through the Logos, through William Branham, was mightier than what was in Palestine, because he went almost around the world 7 times. The world knew about it. It wasn't done in a corner. Now, like father, like son, like prophet, like people. They had their own prophets. They'll die in the tribulation. We had our prophet. We shall live. Let's rise. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. We have not set a course or a ship of destiny ourselves. But we thank you, Lord, as it was in the days of Noah, when the ark was a building, and people could have come in, long suffering. You did give. They didn't, but thank God in our day, this whole ark is finishing off. This gospel cruise is ending. And we believe, Lord, we are in the very safe berth to be crossing over Jordan, Lord, that we have the rightness of this message at this hour. And Lord, I know that as it was back there in that day when Sarah was in your presence and didn't even know it, serving you and didn't even really know it. Yet, oh God, at that hour you spoke to her and then she didn't believe it. But it came to pass. Lord, we're in that same boat tonight too. There are many things that we might be out of touch with concerning as the real reality, but we are in touch with it in this respect. We know that it is here, and we're desirous, Lord. Withhold not anything from us, O God, we pray, by means of revelation, and dynamizing that revelation, Lord, as it is necessary, or whatsoever seemeth good in thy sight, Lord. Let it be unto us this night according to thy word, because, God, we can't go any further than what we are at this moment, because we don't know where to go. We just know that this is it. Therefore, let it be according to thy word of this hour. Do unto us, therefore, these things by thy word, O God, that we may either go to the grave and come up in this first resurrection, or we may stand here, Lord, to walk in to immortality. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, Father God, we thank you again, therefore, tonight for what we have heard and seen, what we know, what has been taught us in such a way that we can take it from there and go to your scripture and see these things absolutely, Lord. It's just a perfect parallel. It's complete omega of the alpha of the beginning. And we thank you for it, Lord, that you have been with us and will continue. So, Father God, speed up our heart's pulse rate, we pray. Make us, Lord, more avid than we've ever been, Lord Jesus Christ. Because we know it's going to happen to somebody, and we're anxious, Lord, that it happened to us. Remit our sins, O God, we pray. Let us be more than blameless, because we are, Lord. Let us come to where your prophet came when he said, leave, I haven't got it, and I don't know the meaning of guilt. I have no guilt any longer, and could say, I don't know the meaning of fear. Lord, I believe that is real. I believe that is true. I don't know if we can have the same measure. I don't ask for it, Lord. Don't at all. Maybe, Lord, we're not even to get that far as that explicitness of the feeling of the revelation. But one thing we do know, that is true. That the guilt must go, and the fear must go, and it will go. Somehow, some way, this must work out in the will of God. And we'll be standing here, that whatever takes place, more than conquerors, because the squeeze comes down, the pressure, the whole bit, and with it, the resurrection and immortality. I believe that, Lord. I see it in your scripture. And we thank you, Lord, that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And unto the King eternal, immortal, is the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Now the Lord bless you. Now don't forget, it's easy to forget, Saturday night. And we know we see also some people are a little bit loath to come out on Wednesdays and certain nights. And I admit that these messages are calculated for the mind. Now, no way am I going to start preaching messages, pastoral type, until I feel like it. And if I'm here at that time, we'll go into pastoral messages calculated to lift your faith and to bless your heart. But I'm going to tell you something. This is the mind age. Now, you do what you want. Let's get this back. You're here. I know others aren't. And I know it's always wrong. Always the people here always get the brunt of it. But I hope you'll be good witnesses and you encourage people to get this word, because this is the mind age.
Now, if they want photographs, I'll oblige them. But first, I've got to get some lessons. Because if I'm going to be a phony, I want to be the best. If you want to get fooled, I want you to get fooled real good. Now, that's not my line. I'm too abrupt for that kind of nonsense. Look, this is the word of the hour. This is the word of the hour. Out there, they know nothing about it. We want to know about it. And it's our job to know about it, brothers and sisters. So if you have to gear yourself down, don't feel bad. Because if you don't gear yourself down, I've got one word for you. God will never gear you up. Because if it's not there to anoint. Now come on. If a male has a billion sperm and the female hasn't got one egg to come down and get anointed. Sperm's all gone away. The latter rain begins to strike, which is already striking. Don't tell me it's not because it is. It's mixing already. Begin coming like waves. And there's no former rain there to mingle. What are you going to do about it? Now come on, what are you going to do about it? Now say, I'm serious. I want to know if you're serious. Because I'm afraid too many people are not serious. Play around, play around, play around. You ain't going to do any good. Now, words of the wise sufficient. Gear yourself down. Know what the word says. That's the only check we've got. Okay? Let's sing. Take the name of Jesus with you. Hey,